Welcome everyone to our next session. Leanne Cameron is a colleague of mine from Macquarie, and so I'll ask her now to tell us about a really interesting project funded by the Australian Learning and Teaching Council.
Thank you. So this is just going to provide you an overview of the learning design project. We've only barely started, and I'll try to adjust what I was going to say to fit the time space. Okay, so this particular project, so we've got the money and we're starting, it's a 2-year project, and what we're going to do is provide a highly scaffolded but flexible learning activity planning tool that helps academic staff, and that might be university academics or even teaching staff from schools, to understand the rationale for using exemplar learning designs and guides, and guides practitioners through learning design options. So basically what that means is we're going to try and help them do learning design, and hopefully much better than they've done it before. So we'll broaden that out a little bit later. But the outcomes of the project are that, plus we've said we'll produce 20 exemplar learning designs and guides, and at the time that seemed quite reasonable, really. So let's hope it still is. And most importantly, create a community of educational developers and academic staff. And it's through events like this that we're already starting to build that up. And through Cloudscape. So if you haven't visited or you haven't made a note of that, Cloudworks and Cloudscapes within Cloudworks. So if you can make a note of that and go back home when you get home and have a look, you might see some interesting parts of beginners' parts of these communities. So originally we looked at what a learning planning tool might be. So depending on who you spoke to, sometimes it was a whole course builder. And you saw this morning the sorts of things that Diana was working on. Big picture stuff right down to quite granular material. So for some people it is just the big picture. For other people it's down to the lesson level or even down to the activity lesson, the activity level. That is, I want a quick and easy way of running an online discussion, and so you just do it. So I had to cover all of that. And then whether it's an educational tool, that means in this context, whether you just produce something that they plug in and use, or whether it does have some level of instruction, so that after using it, they're actually more informed about what they just did than if they just developed it themselves. And the absolute opposite of that, of course, is the shortcut to the learning design process. You've done the learning design. They don't have to worry about how it does get designed. They don't have to think about it. They just produce it. So they're all the options that we looked at. And depending on who you're talking to, a learning activity planning tool will be any one of those. So the whole need for a planning tool or a pedagogical planner, as they tend to be often referred to, was that for the majority of academic staff, and here we're talking about university staff rather than school staff, because in schools it's most common that they've already had some sort of teaching qualification. But at university, that is not the case. And their prime responsibility, or actually their prime role in the university, may even not be teaching. They might be researchers or in some other area, so that teaching is not their ultimate goal there or their prime responsibility. There is also an underlying assumption in most universities that lecturers do know something about student learning and how it happens and how they create good learning designs, and we found that that's possibly not the case. And Gibbs, in an early survey, and he's since updated this one recently, said that most lecturers are actually less sophisticated as teachers than they are as researchers, and that even good teaching in universities is often as much luck as anything else. They're just gifted amateurs. So what we are looking at is producing something that perhaps can raise the bar a little. So when we were starting to look at this, I saw this as an e-learning tool, so a completely online environment that allowed the new lecturer, I was thinking just new people to this, so that we could give them ideas, suggestions and activities that anybody that had been doing this for a while would automatically consider. So that's where we originally started with this, or I did. And It has since grown a little. Excuse me. Now, this is basically a mock-up of a product that we're hoping is really, really close to development. And it is a planning tool, or the activity planner. And what you'll see there on the screen is just one of the options that you could go through with this. And that is the activity planner with looking at teaching styles or teaching strategies. Four options. So if somebody wanted to, for example, go into problem-based learning, for example, they could just click on that. It gives them a brief explanation right there and then of what it is. So problem-based learning builds a lesson around a central question, etc. If somebody has less knowledge of it than that, and that is not really suited for them to move on immediately, they can click on the why would I use this? And it goes through to a more detailed explanation of what it is, problem-based learning, and why you would use it. And then it just continues to get more and more detailed as they mine down into a variety of web pages and examples. And they then get down through, to what is effectively a LAMP sequence that allows them to have the structure already pre-built. And the structure is already there for them to set up, in this case, exploring alternative perspectives, and the pattern is there. So when you look at a lot of the types of teaching people do, you can get it down to some quite generic steps if they're following some recognised format. So the four that were listed up there, like role play, for example, does require, regardless of what type of role play you're looking at, it does require some basic features. And so what we would do is provide these features. So that if someone who's never done it before would be able to know where to start. And that seems to be one of the problems. Some innovative teachers who haven't had a lot of experience might say, okay, I want to try role play. I've heard this is a really good idea. But they don't, in effect, know where it starts. So this provides them with a starting point. And you can see here that some of the material is provided for them. So there's the introduction to the activity. That would be there. And there, the next step, it says, add text here. And it provides a help box of what sort of text that they'd be expected to add. And it works through so that it basically becomes a form-filling exercise. But hopefully, the way it's presented, they will not just be blindly filling out a form. They will be reading through and looking at the options and hopefully considering why they're making the choices they are. Okay, the other planners that the people are starting to develop now have also found that there's other benefits, not just the quick and dirty lesson, but there's a whole lot of things that have come out of the other planning projects. The step-by-step guidance to help practitioners make very theoretically informed decisions and choose appropriate tools and resources requires a whole lot of scaffolding. And some of the planners that exist have really provided amazing levels of scaffolding. What we're looking at, hopefully, is a compromise where people can either go into that level or alternatively, if they're not prepared or ready for that level, can take a more superficial approach until they are ready for the deeper, meaningful questions. And hopefully it will inspire lecturers to adopt new teaching strategies and that will provide some support for them. It does provide design ideas in a structured way, and Peter Goodyear has written a paper looking at patterns, and it's another variation on the theme of how this sort of generic style can actually help new or inexperienced or innovative teachers make better lessons. But it does provide this wonderful experience and in a really concrete way so that we can look at sharing learning designs and reuse. And that comes through quite clearly once you get learning designs in a format that's written down or created in some, as in Lam's case, some graphical format, it really does make sharing so much easier. So we're not reinventing the wheel. It will provide a mechanism for abstracting good practice and metamodels for learning, because there's a lot of good stuff happening out there. It's just this way of getting it moving from one area to the other, one country to the other, even one university to the other, or in some cases one faculty to the other. So we need to get a lot more sharing happening. People, lecturers are busy people, and it really, really is going to be a huge issue with the quality of teaching. As time gets smaller, they have less and less time to devote to it, and this may be one way of allowing good quality teaching to continue. The advantage to LAMS and some of those systems, and not all of them, is that they do produce a runnable learning design at the end. So you go through this whole design process, and at the end of it, you've actually got a lesson that will run. So that's a huge advantage. And the big problem with a lot of programs in the past and the big commercial projects is that if you want to make changes, sometimes quite small changes that haven't been accommodated, then making those changes at grassroots level is quite difficult. And so it doesn't recognise the iterative and fluid process of learning design. So one of the key features of what we come up with is that we need the person who's going to deliver the lesson, we need that person to be able to tweak it and set it up. So in effect, why now have suddenly we decided to do this and other people decided to do this? Well, there's a whole lot of reasons. Firstly, the technology is allowing it to a certain degree, but the restructuring, the expansion and the refinancing of the higher education sector has meant that suddenly in universities, and when I say suddenly, in some countries this has been happening over quite an extended period, we're suddenly not talking to the elite anymore. We haven't got the creme de la creme of students who will lap up these standard, the front of the classroom, lecture type things. We are wanting students who are demanding more. They want more interaction. They want different types of learning. And that does require a little bit more thought on a lot of lecturers' part. So they're looking at different ways of teaching. So now that these lecturers are also faced with larger classes, these larger classes have got a huge range in ability, a massive range in motivation, and also of access. Some of our students very rarely come to the campus now. And there is also issues with cultural background. There's a lot of variety in the nature of the campus now that wasn't always the case. So it is forcing some lecturers, and unfortunately not all of them, to rethink their teaching approaches, because the old style isn't working as well anymore, and they do have to look for what effective teaching is. And so we're hoping to produce something that facilitates that. We need to really work out what effective teaching strategies are. So we'll need to look at the research, which is where we've started our project. We need to look at what strategies are used in what sort of contexts, investigate whether there is a difference between disciplines, and whether that difference is actually justified. Is it just the way it's always been, therefore it perpetuates, or can disciplines benefit from learning how other disciplines do it? Also with approaches, there's different approaches from lecturer to lecturer. Different learning theories that have to be considered, and then most importantly, different modes of delivery. So we have to look at a whole range of those things. Lecturers don't always ask their professional bodies within the university for help. It's been shown that they do ask for support in certain areas when things happen. And one of the things is about student performance. If their student performance is dropping or has never been very good, under a number of different countries' promotion schemes now, they do have to do very well with student evaluations. So suddenly it's become an issue. Sometimes lecturers just want some reassurance about their teaching, or want to try an innovation. But if you've never had any teacher training at all, you may not even know where to start improving your teaching. So hopefully the tool that we're developing will help them. So this is a research project. This is the beginning of a research project, so there's no such thing as a free lunch. What I would like you people to do now is to think about these three questions. And we're looking for some feedback for our project. Do you think this pedagogical planner might be used in your context? We're interested to know if the answer to that is yes, but I'm equally interested if you say no to find out why not. Also, how much support should be provided throughout the process? So we've got one model in the UK that's being developed that is very, very detailed in the support that it provides people along the way. They can read about the theoretical underpinnings of this system all the way along the line. But is that what people in your teaching context are interested in? Do they care? Do they just want something quick, easy to work on? And then the last question is, should it have this instructional purpose? Anything we build, should it teach people along the way, or should we just say, here's a model of what a role play is, plug in, fill in the form, and at the end of it you'll have a role play that works. So I'd like to open up the floor. Yes, you reach it.
I was teaching statistics in the past, and from my experience that particularly university, lecturers don't think how to make the exam. Civil university has some guidelines, but not many people use it, and they don't know how to make assessment. What are you measuring? How are you measuring? And so on.
So what you're saying that is that by having a PhD doesn't make you a wonderful teacher? I don't think anyone in this room...
Yeah, assumption in university is that if you are a good researcher, you can teach. That's not true. As you were saying, that the recent motivation is that you need assessed in some way, how good you are teaching, how good your university, how good your student performing. That may be the motivation that you would like to improve your teaching. But in that planner level, I think that probably you have to build in some elements of just like Diana was saying this morning, what's your outcome you are aiming for, not only pedagogical and how you do, but also what's the outcome you're looking for and how you're going to measure it, how do you know, related to that level?
So you're also suggesting that we need some sort of instructional heavy scaffolding.
Yeah, how does it connect?
Anyone with any other thoughts?
I think it's got huge potential, and I think it's got huge potential for teachers because they find it very difficult to take their pedagogical knowledge and place it in an ICT context. And this is, gives them something that's familiar. I understand role play, and then sort of helps them move into the ICT space. I think it's fantastic. I think in reality, and I'm dealing with real teachers rather than teaching students, the support would probably be face-to-face. It wouldn't need necessarily to be placed within the tool, but if you can ignore the support, well, okay. And I think that the instructional purpose, again, you have to be clever in how you designed it, I think is would be really good because, we get a lot of teachers who perhaps understand the inquiry process well and not other forms of sequencing or Wikipedia. And so it would allow teachers to broaden their strategy.
So the teachers in your context will be looking for face-to-face, so would they need it along the way as well, with built into the model, or would you be just looking at face-to-face supplementation?
I don't think they would bother, is maybe the right word, in drilling down into the model to find the support, when in my context, face-to-face would be so easy. They would probably you know, we would sort of deliver it and provide the support as we go and make a five-week questions, and then if they're really keen, they could look at the other support, but because we're not going to do it in a solely online sort of.
Mm-hmm. And your sector?
ACT, yeah.
Right, that's cool. Yeah. One thing, yeah.
Well, I think they're great questions. And of course, I think the first one, your result is yes. And I think what's so great about what you've done is you've actually implemented one of the things about trying to show an example of. You get to the point where you've got an idea of what you want to try and achieve. Here's four ways of possibly doing it, and you drill down and start in one thing, which it is, and then you've got something you can use at the end of it. I think that's exactly what people need. I think the only thing I would add to that is you come to that with a reason for coming to it. Namely, I'm trying to do this with my students, and that's the point that we want to get people to, so we create the demand for them going into what they're doing. And the second question, I don't think many people will read that stuff that we put in to validate what we're doing, but I think it's got to be there. And there are people who just want to know it's there. They're particularly want to read it. They want to know that it has some authority. You know, we're making claims in it. They're saying that. So they want to know what the nature of the claim is. I think that's perfectly reasonable. So we just have to do that. And yes, absolutely, it should have an instructional purpose, but an instructional, not just for the learners, but for the teachers too.
So we should have a nice streamlined version, so if they want to, they can go deep, 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 but if not, they just go straight down the line and produce the sausage factory model, yeah, which has been described to me as a sausage factory model. Yes.
Which ultimately improves the learner's experience, which is the aim of, isn't it?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I'm an academic here at Macquarie, and I mean, I really like the idea of the pedagogical planner, partly because now with all the restructuring and so on and so forth that we're going through, we're constantly having to talk about graduate outcomes and everything we write. We have to link to white paper this and the green paper that. And I'm getting really tired of reiterating, you know, pedagogical aims and so on that have been written by others that we don't have any deep knowledge of, though, you know, I'm probably the, you know, the... the inspired amateur category. And when I have had opportunities to go more deeply into the pedagogy of my teaching, I really enjoy it and feel like I own it a bit more than when I'm getting it from these blasted white papers where you literally have to tick off boxes now in the unit outline and say, yeah, we've ticked off all these graduate outcomes. And it's not really speaking to... I mean, it is speaking to what I'm doing in my teaching, but I don't feel like it is. And I think the pedagogical planner would assist with that process, feeling like you're starting to really understand and own the pedagogy, because you're going to adapt it to your own development of your own teaching, coursework, your LAMP sequences, or so on. But I also think it's interesting that when we've been at this, I mean, I've written LAMP sequences and so on, but today I've had the LAMS talk and then also reflect back on my non-LAMS teaching ideas. So I think, you know, pedagogy is obviously quite deep because it's not just limited to a particular LAMS environment or a LAMS sequence. And so I think that's great because obviously then it really is learner-teacher focused in a really holistic way. We never get enough support
for
your
support. Yes, ma'am. I don't know much about the LAMS system, but there's been a lot of emphasis on the activities, the sequence of activities, and where I think that maybe teachers are weaker, or even the higher education sector as well, is seeing the opportunities for assessment within the process that's been designed. So, you know, the pop-up of, oh, something is assessed here, rather than going through a sequence and then adding on, let's say, at the end, which may then have a real connection to the process of learning that's taking place.
So the other example that we've been told why this is a little bit redundant is that if you just had examples of best practice, for example, then that would provide all of that.
Hopefully.
So we wouldn't need this if we had just... This is a great example of a role play. This is a great example of inquiry-based learning.
I suppose if you take the role play example, how could one provide opportunities for assessment throughout the role play? You know, the group is producing a report about something. So not only do you see the activity, but where you might be able to enhance the opportunity to assess something so that there's a grade that might pop out. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think there's a perhaps a misunderstanding that with the learning sequence, you don't just do the sequence and then you can do some assessment tasks afterwards, but that you can actually embed assessment tasks as part of the learning sequence.
And you can say it's
yeah, so I'll cover something a little bit in the next
chapter. Thanks, Stephen. I didn't pick that up. Yep. Yes.
My name is Nick from Faculty of Arts. I'm an education developer. I work with all kinds of academics. I would say, in my situation, for most of our academics, they would love to have such a planner. But for some of them, especially our young doctors, we just find out, based on my Blackboard experience, they are so easy to so quickly to adapt Blackboard. I think Lens will be the same for them because they used Blackboard before and they know how to just implement that pedagogy into ICT straight away. However, for the other like more senior lecturers or more experienced lecturers, they are a bit reluctant and they are really scared about technology. So I think that such a planner is a really good thing. So they can easily just get into that pedagogy and see what it looks like rather than learn how to submit a file first. That I think is a good thing. Support, definitely. I totally agree. You should have the support file, but probably only, based on my experience, a lot of, again, experienced lecturers, senior lecturers, they would really read the support file. But for younger lecturers, they just, once they cannot find, they Google it. That straight away. So if they can Google it, they do. I won't download like a 4-page of support file and raise through it and find the information. Definitely I do it.
Okay. We've run out of time, I'm afraid. I'm just quite conscious of the fact that Debbie's sitting right there. So I'm happy to take questions. I'll be here all day, obviously. So thank you very much, and we'll pass on to Debbie.